This is the Home Base Travel Agent Show, and I want to welcome you to the show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host, and today we're going to talk about Hawaii. And we have a special guest who is an insider who will give us the inside view of Hawaii. He knows a lot about it. He's lived there for 22 years, and he knows all the ins and outs of visiting Hawaii. So this will be a good thing for your clients, a good thing for you, and an interesting show to say the least, so I want to welcome you to it. And once again, my name is Barry Kantz. I'm the host for the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. I had to think a minute. What's the name of my show? Anyhow, I want to welcome you. And if you want to contact me, you can email me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And I do look forward to seeing your emails and have fun reading them. So please feel free to drop me a note. And if you want to find the website, it's at hometravelagent.net. And on the website, we have all the archives of the previous shows. And we have a spot there where you can sign up for the monthly newsletter. And what that'll do for you is give you basically the show in your email. It'll give you the show notes and a link to the audio, link to everything that you need to listen to the current version of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. So sign up for that. We don't spam your inbox. The only thing that you'll get from us is the show once a month when we publish it. And we typically publish at the end of each month. This is a monthly show. So as summer is approaching us, things are getting busy around here. It's been quite the time. The weather hasn't been that good. Now it's finally warm, and boy, I'm outside catching up on a lot of lawn stuff and doing a lot of projects that need to be done. And we have to do them quickly because within the next few days, we're heading to New Hampshire for the month of July, basically. So we are going to be on the East Coast, the very East Coast. And we look forward to that, visiting the grandkids. And we'll be doing a show from out there. If everything comes together right, we will be doing our July show in New Hampshire. So sometimes it can be a technical challenge to do that, but we're going to give it a try. But if you don't see us in July, we'll make up for it in August. So that's the way it'll be. Well, without any further ado, I want to get into the show, and I will shortly introduce our guest, who is kind of a special guest for me, so you'll find out why. So with that, let's get into it, and here we go. Hey everybody, welcome to the interview portion of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show, and today I want to introduce our guest. Usually Lauren takes that fine job, but today I'm going to, because our guest is Todd Cochran. And actually, Todd and I have been business partners since 2005, and Todd is the host of the Geek News Central podcast show, and I know some of you probably have listened to that. And Todd is an early on podcaster. He started in October of 2004, and then the Home-Based Travel Agent show showed up a few months later in February of 2005. And Todd has been going strong with his show ever since, and so has the Home-Based Travel Agent show. So we're some veteran podcasters here, along with Lauren. She started out her podcasting in some of the Mac shows even before she came on the Home-Based Travel Agent show in September of 2005. But Todd is with us today, and he has been a resident of Hawaii for the last 22 years. Recently moved to Michigan, back to his hometown, and you know, I understand that. You know, I love my hometown, and that's where your roots are, and it's really easy to get back there at some point in time in your life, if just for a short time or maybe a long time. But Todd is back, I think, permanently, and we're happy to have him here back in Michigan, and we would like to pick his brain from the point of view of an insider to life in Hawaii. So welcome to the show, Todd, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on the show. And yeah, you would think after being in Hawaii 22 years, I should have a little insider information, so it should be fun.
Yeah, and also Lorene's here, so I want Lorene to step in and say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be back. It's going to be so nice because I get to hang out in the background, which is awesome.
Yeah, we switch
so,
roles here.
Welcome, Todd. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, but I'd say I don't have to do the wizard buttons in the background either. So thank you for the free ride, Barry, this time.
Yeah, I get to do it all, the wizard buttons and do a lot of the talking, which is kind of unusual. Lorraine usually takes over and jumps right in with her exciting personality, which we're happy to have. So, Todd, tell us a little bit about yourself, something that I might have missed during the introduction.
Well, I've often people ask me, how did you get to Hawaii? And I was did my last 12 or so years in the Navy and out in Hawaii. And retired out there. And of course, you and I got in business shortly after, before I retired from the Navy. And spent a long time on the islands and traveling, a lot. And I think I went to all the islands in Hawaii. I think it maybe missed one, but we've pretty much seen all the tourist sites, but after you've been there for a while, you kind of have a tendency to avoid the tourist spots, but it's always fun to venture out and see the locations, of course.
Yeah, and you know where all the locals go. One thing that I should mention here, just to be all up front, and you started to mention it, but Todd and I have been business partners since 2005. Todd founded the company Raw Voice, which has the Blueberry brand, and what we do, we provide services to podcasters. Here's a shameless self-promotion, but anyhow, we provide all the back-end services for podcasters, and this show is also a part of the Blueberry Network, and we use the Blueberry services. So thank you, Todd, for coming up with that idea, and we've been plugging away at it ever since.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride so far.
Yeah. So if someone's going to Hawaii, and maybe they're there for the first time, what would you say they should do?
Well, it really breaks down into two types, and what I would call two types of vacations. If you need to go and just relax, you want to unplug, and you don't want to do a lot of tours, don't want to go to a lot of tourist attractions. You want to just relax, put your feet in the sand, have a completely stress-free vacation, then either the island of Maui or Kauai is definitely the destination for you. Now, you can do that in Oahu if you want to, and you can do that on the big island as well. But Maui and Kauai seems to attract the folks that really just kind of want to unplug. There's some things there to do during the day, of course, if you want. But Oahu is more, I wouldn't say it's like Las Vegas, but there's definitely a lot to do in Oahu. You can be in Waikiki and have world-class dining, you can do world-class shopping, you can do the world-famous tourist locations like the Arizona Memorial, the Missouri Battleship, you can go to a luau, because you can do that on any island. But you can, can have a lot of activities during the daytime and still enjoy the gentle trade wind breezes of Oahu and all the islands in the evening and even get some great beach time. So I think it really depends on your vacation type. Now, the big island, and when I say the big island of Hawaii, that you could almost do two vacations there because the island is massive. And I cautioned anyone that goes to the big island from a vacation standpoint, you can put a lot of miles on a rental car, more than you would ever imagine being on an island. I think when I was over there for 4 days, because we were driving between one side and the other, I think we put like 2,000 miles on the rental car in 4 days. So you can put some miles, spend a lot of time in a vehicle. So maybe you pick one side of the island or the other if you come to the big island. But the three best destinations for sure are Oahu, Maui, and Kauai. Not to make folks go to Lanai. That is typically mostly locals. But the other three are, and of course, the Big Island is set up for to do a lot of tourist activities.
Okay, and one of my favorite subjects is food, and I'm always curious about what the locals eat, and especially if you're working in somewhat of a different culture, what's the locals' food like there? And well, where would you go?
Oh, my God. So, you know, the grinds, as we like to call them, the grinds in the kine in the local Hawaii slang, Oahu has over 10,000 restaurants. So it runs in every cuisine that you could possibly imagine, the only, with the exceptions of probably the least available food would be Mexican food. And that seems to be the one that's kind of lacking there. But Hawaii is famous for plate lunch. During the daytime when you're out running around, you can stop at an established like L&L Barbecue. It's a chain, but it's all they're all locally or you know, individually owned. And plate lunch there is essentially a an entree, whether it be a barbecue chicken or maybe some sort of Korean dish with a scoop or two of rice and mac salad. Super carb heavy, but that's really truly a traditional lunch in most of the islands is a plate lunch. And you typically can find that for, you know, $8 to $12, depending on where you're going. And sometimes a plate lunch is enough for two. So if you order maybe a double entree, you don't have to have two orders. And then, of course, your drink of choice. But in the evening times, really, it's your choice. We have world famous chefs in Oahu that are you know, almost in every cuisine, and the best part of it too is it's at every budget level. So you can go five star, and you can go all the way down to a walk up stand and get noodles. So you will not go hungry in Oahu. Now, the little difference between Oahu and Maui and Kauai are. And the Big Island is there's less food options in Maui and Kauai, not in diversity, but just fewer restaurants. So those islands do also have a tendency to roll the carpets up pretty early. So, you know, if you're out sightseeing and you're going to be getting back from an event at 8 p.m., don't dilly-daddle in getting some food for the evening because, you know, they start rolling the carpets up around dusk, 7:30, 8. And it's, again, it's that very sleepy isle type of situation on the other islands, but you're not going to starve any place. The local people love to eat and eat out a lot. They do.
Now, after many conversations that you and I have had, the subject of food comes up. And when you talk about Hawaii, you've talked about spam. What's the fascination with spam there?
Hawaii, by capital, has the highest consumption of spam. And I'm just going to, you know, say that you got to do this. If you visit almost any convenience store, 7-Eleven, a mom-and-pop run store, ABC store in the morning, we'll have something that's called spam musubi, and it's basically a sliced piece of spam that has been fried maybe in a teriyaki sauce. It's been put on a bed of rice and usually has a seafood wrapper and, dry seaweed. Or a small band, and it's more rice than seaweed, or it's the combinations run the gambit. I definitely would recommend for people that are just starting out, just get the bed of rice with the spam on top with maybe a teriyaki sauce. That's probably pretty safe. But I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a holdover from World War II when a lot of GIs were, you know, the meat maybe wasn't as accessible. So a lot of spam was shipped into Hawaii during World War II. But believe me, they cook any kind of dish that you can imagine with spam. And in the grocery stores, you would expect to see, you know, maybe 20 different varieties of spam and flavors. It's kind of crazy, the spam mania. The place that's the most second, and I spent time in Guam years ago, Guam consumes a lot of spam too. But again, I think it all originates back from World War II.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. You know, that's just something that we don't typically eat nowadays, anyhow, on the mainland. At least I don't think so. But it's a holdover in Hawaii. I know you're going back to Hawaii here in a few weeks, and And I know you have lots of things to do when you go back, but if you were going back and you just wanted to take a few minutes out of your day to have some fun when you landed on the island, what would you do?
Well, definitely almost anywhere you are in any of the islands, if you just need to just to take a break, you're literally 10 to 15 minutes away from the ocean, almost from any location on Oahu. You know, it's you can drive around Oahu in about 3 hours, but if you're in almost any neighborhood, you're usually about 10 minutes away by car from a park or a beach. So if you just need to, you know, grab some food, and let's say you even get it fast food, and you want to eat that beach, you can go down and oftentimes it'll be a beach that doesn't have a high number of people. You could almost have the beach to yourself per se. Now that's a different situation in Waikiki where there's a lot of people that are at the beach. But if you get outside of Waikiki, just hitting the beach is easy for lunch.
Okay. Now I know I've heard you with expletives included talk about the traffic in Hawaii. So how hard is it to get around?
So Oahu is notorious for, I would say, horrendous traffic. So you have to plan accordingly. So if you're staying in Waikiki, and let's say that you're going to be going to the Arizona Memorial as a location that you're going to visit, the normal drive with no traffic from Waikiki to the Arizona Memorial is probably 20 minutes. If that is in the afternoon, if you plan on doing it, and if you get tickets, which is I highly, highly recommend you get reservations to go see the Arizona Memorial. We'll talk about more on that in a minute. But let's say your appointment is at 4 or 3:30, and I don't know what the exact time the last boat leaves. If you leave the downtown area of Waikiki at 2:30, you may not make it. You may have to leave at 2 or because traffic starts building. And it's just like any other city. People in the morning come in from the suburbs into the downtown areas. And in the afternoon, they start going out. But the businesses have gotten smart and tried to split their schedules. So some people start as early as 6 a.m. working, and they're done, by 2:30 or 3. And then that outbound traffic starts to build. And that outbound traffic into the suburbs or into the outer communities really lasts from about 3 in the afternoon all the way as late as maybe 7 o'clock. And then in the morning, the inbound traffic into Honolulu and Waikiki, that traffic starts at about 5:30 in the morning and then builds all the way through 8:30, and it is stop and go. So depending on where you're staying, if you're staying in one of the hotels, let's say over on the North Shore, you're gonna wanna plan to come into Waikiki after 9 a.m. and be out of Waikiki by 2 o'clock, just to avoid the traffic. So just remember, people are coming into town in the morning and going home in the afternoon, and those are not good transit times. And as a side note, the Arizona Memorial is best visited very early in the morning. Get the earliest tickets you can to see the Arizona Memorial.
Oh, cool. So you mentioned taking a ferry out to the Arizona Memorial. Now, I've never been to Hawaii, and I don't know much about it, and maybe some of our listeners don't either. So what does it take to get out there?
Well, it's the Pearl Harbor complex and the USS Arizona Memorial is a park. There is you can probably easily spend let me describe. Once you get to the US Arizona Memorial Park and park your car, there's usually adequate parking. It's free attraction to go into. You don't have to pay. Once you're in, if you have already pre-reserved tickets on the website, and you can do that by just searching for USS Arizona Memorial tickets. You shouldn't have to pay for these. Don't ever pay for tickets to go to the memorial. You can then schedule yourself for a time slot that you take the ferry, which is operated by the U.S. Navy. They'll run you out to the Arizona. You'll spend as much time as you want to on the Arizona. And typically I say you're going to want a lot for probably 30 minutes. You can probably see everything you need to see in 30 minutes on the actual Arizona itself. and then grab one of the boats back. And so probably all told, you're maybe 2 to 3 hours at the Arizona Memorial. And there's a lot to do there. Now, if you really want to make it the best day possible, you double that up with a visit to the Mighty Missouri, the Mighty Mo. And it is a paid tour. I highly, 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 highly recommend the paid guided tour. Typically, the standard tours last about an hour, but they have packages that you can reserve in advance that are a little longer. And you really can spend typically about a whole day between the Missouri and the Arizona. But if you get started real early in the morning, maybe you can finish the Mighty Mo by about 1 o'clock and then have some other attractions to see. But, it is the most heavily – it is the highest tourist attraction in Oahu. So you do get your tickets. And you can book, I think, many months out. And, again, I've never done that myself. Now, if you're going next week and you have just listened to this, say, what should I do? You can walk up and get tickets that are available. They'll have onesies, twosies, and threesies left in certain time slots to be able to walk up and get tickets to get on the ferry. I've never personally reserved. I've walked up and said, what do you have available? I said, I've got 3 tickets at 2. I said, I'll take those and see the park and walk around. So lots to see there.
Now, when you're going out to the Missouri or to the Arizona, are there any restrictions on what you can take, cameras or, any type of restrictions?
I think you can take water and your camera, and there's no problem taking pictures. But just remember, it is a, you have interned service members that have been, that went down with the ship and also that have been placed there. That survived later. They are still doing internments of crewmen that wish to be buried with their shipmates, and that happens on an occasion. And it's not as often as it used to be because many of those veterans are getting very, very old in age, and very few are left. But just be respectful. As Americans, if you're going, we're typically more subdued than maybe some of the foreign visitors. So if some of the foreign visitors are being a little, as you would say, a little more noisy than what you would expect, just understand maybe they don't fully understand what they're standing over.
Oh, interesting, yeah. So, Lorraine, you specialize in Hawaii vacations, and I know you've sent a lot of people there, so do you have any questions for Todd?
I do. Thank you. Of course, Barry, you have the fun part of being, the foodie person, which is awesome. And Todd, you did a great job explaining that. I love the part that you talked about the traffic, because it's very true. They do tend to work on a different time schedule, because people tend to go west to go see them, but they tend to work with people that are east. So their day commute could really start, because they're working with people on the time zone from New York. Mm-hmm. So if they're going to work and they're dealing with conference calls and video conferences, they're dealing with people anywhere from 6 to 7 and 8, depending on the time zone. So I love that you put a reminder about that. What I'd like to hear a little bit, if you have ideas of where families would go. Hawaii, the whole state is known for romance and for surfing. There's a lot of people who want to go with their kiddies.
Sure.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so, on Oahu specifically, the Polynesian Culture Center is a definite must. It's an all-day affair. You're going to spend all day there. You can actually go to their evening show. It will not only provide you education, but also some hands-on activities to do that the kids like to participate in. Evening luau show is also great. It is a very long day, so you maybe start there at get there about noon. 5:36, grab something to eat, and then the luau probably starts around 7. It's not a completely traditional luau show. It's a little bit different, but, you know, that's a definite great event for the kids. Of course, there's a, you know, if you want to go to an actual attraction, there's Wet n Wild, but to be honest with you, I'd rather have the kids just go to the beach. There's plenty of beaches there that are safe, even for, when I say safe, that's, no, their kids are not going to get knocked over by waves. So there's lots of beaches that the kids can go to. There's a lot of historic sites. There's hiking, where people can go and do hiking trails, all the way from a beginner trail, which maybe take a couple hours with kids, maybe 7 and over would be able to do, to really advanced hikes that, and to be frank with you, I don't recommend unless you go with someone locally, because some of them can be quite dangerous. Be very aware of the weather conditions, and because every, you know, every once in a while in the news, we'll hear about a tourist that has fell off a cliff and lost their life. So please be careful on any of the more advanced hikes, because sometimes you're walking on a 1 foot ridge line. The sights are incredible, but the risk is pretty high too. You don't want to be out there when it's raining and be able and slide off. But surfing, they've always got on Waikiki the ability for kids to learn how to surf. So those are always fun activities. Even catamaran type of excursions, which are fun. But there's plenty of, I mean, I would say in Hawaii that 90% of the activities are kid friendly. Mm-hmm.
That's great. And especially, you know, talking about the cultural aspect, this is, you could, sure, you can do a roller coaster. Sure, you can go to Disney. Sure, you can do all that. But the fact that they're learning a different culture, it's not the same culture that you have in California or Michigan or, you know, I mean, they have their own language. Mm-hmm. And they strive really hard to keep their culture, which I think is amazing. And kids are always fascinated by that.
Hawaii doesn't have big museums. They have small museums. The Bishop Museum is a museum that a couple of hours you can go through. The Iolani Palace is another one that you can get through easily in an hour, hour and a half. Again, they are cultural type of tours, and they give you a lot of history. The Iolani Palace one is the tour talks about the overthrow of the kingdom, and usually that tour is given by a native Hawaiian, and a lot of history there, things that maybe even cause you to raise your eyebrows a little bit that you maybe not have learned in your history books in the mainland. So lots of great cultural opportunities there.
Great point. And I ask this question often, especially if we have somebody who's from a specific destination. Now, I preface it with, I know we're not allowed to have any favorite children. I get that. We've been told that all our lives, although we know it's not really true. Do you have a favorite island? And if so, why?
Oh, favorite island. Well, you know, I'm an activity-based person, so from that standpoint, I definitely like Oahu. But from a wow factor and being able to see some just amazing scenery, Kauai is really hard to beat, because Waimea Canyon is, you know, I'm the type of person that doesn't get wowed too often. You know, I went to the Grand Canyon the first time. I said, wow, you know, looking at the Grand Canyon, that to me was a wow event. Waimea Canyon in Kauai is another one of those wow events. It's pretty incredible. So Kauai from a, definitely from a scenery standpoint is really kind of at the top of the list. The Wailua Falls, as long as it come when it's not like pouring rain, because it can get a little crazy over there. And actually, they'll close the falls for tourist access if the falls are running too high. And of course, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that you can do. And if you talk about Maui, oh man, again, you know, there's the blowhole, there's the Hana Highway, road to Hana. Road to Hana is the most, I think, probably the most curvy road in the world. And it's an all-day affair, but the road to Hana is unlike anything else. It's, well, the closest maybe is the Pacific Coast Highway, but the views are much, much better on the road to Hana in Maui. So external islands from Oahu, Kauai number one, Maui number two. You can't, you know, miss on the Big Island now. The volcano's been active for many years, and you can see active lava flows. That's probably a once-in-a-lifetime activity for most people. So it's hard to nail it down to one. Every island has its unique flavor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love how you described them. So thank you. Thank you. Now, I've not heard you mention Molokai.
Yeah, I've never been to Molokai. So I really don't have a lot of info on Molokai.
Okay. That's fair. That's totally fair. The only reason I've been there probably about four or five times, and it's way different. So if you have a client who has the Hawaiian Island several times and want to do something a little different, I'd recommend spending a couple nights there because it's so laid back. It's so off the grid. It's amazing. If you want a little bit of a difference than what you're used to in your everyday life, go there. You may find some interesting answers in your soul.
Well, it is definitely Molokai is, I guess the best way to describe it is sleepy. I don't know if they have a term for the island, but it is definitely way laid back. I would agree with that.
And a lot of red dirt. There you go. Yes. Don't expect to wear any nice clothes or right. Nice shoes.
Just wear the slippers.
So for you, how is it different spending 22 years at a nice, warm, tropical, laid back, different, multiple, you know, languages, multiple speeds that people run on in their everyday life, to move back to Michigan that like has snow? Now, I'm not judging. Barry yeah. knows that I'm from California, so I'm not judging.
Well, maybe that question will be better asked in January. I moved back in June for a reason. I traveled a lot during the wintertime coming back. You know, four seasons, there's something to be said about that. In Hawaii, I didn't have to really think about what to wear. It was if I wanted to, slippers, shorts, and a t-shirt, and that got it done most days of the week. Now, you're going to laugh, but, you know, we've been having some temperate weather here in Michigan. It's not typical summer weather. I think it was in the 60s. When it gets in the 60s in Hawaii, people that live there all their lives, you'll see them wearing coats because it's just a different gradient of temperature. You know, their temperature range is from 60 to 90. And when it's 60, it's very, very cold. They're freezing. Where if you're coming from the mainland and let's say you're coming from Michigan in January to Hawaii and it's a 60-degree day and you're like whooping it up because you know it's 10 below at home. So it's really a matter of perspective. I will be quite frank with you. There are days that are not super pleasant in Hawaii too. If you come when there is the trade winds have died off, the humidity climbs, and it can be pretty uncomfortable. It's just like it's maybe not as bad as Florida in the summertime, but the humidity number goes up. So, you know, if you're watching the weather for Hawaii, which is usually typical sunny and a chance of rain, that's the pretty typical. You want to pay attention to the trade winds. The trade winds is what makes the Hawaiian experience absolutely incredible, because that trade wind blows that humidity off, and it just it's so refreshing. There's really no other place like it, as long as the trade winds are blowing. So I think that's probably weather-wise the delta. Now I'm going to have to buy winter clothes. I haven't had a lot of winter clothes in 20 years, so that's something I'll have to shop for in the fall.
Well, that's awesome. Maybe we'll have to schedule you again, say to me, possibly be our December guest, just to go, hey, here's the little reminders of how things are different.
Well, I might do what Barry does. I might find some place to winter over in.
I was going to say that that's my comment on Michigan weathers. My comment is, see you in Florida.
Right. Yeah. See Florida when there's no humidity during the winter, then leave Florida when the winter's coming up and the weather's pleasant here.
Yeah.
Smart so, man.
Exactly.
I think we came back about 6 weeks too early, maybe even 2 months too early. It's not been pleasant here in Michigan over the last couple of months. It's been cold and rainy.
Yeah, and the farmers are in dire need here. The crops can't even get be put in because of too much rain.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's another thing, too, that was unique about living in Hawaii is that in my yard, I had an orange tree. I had a lemon tree that produced year-round. I had a tree that's kind of native to the Philippines and also to Hawaii, something called calamansi. It's kind of a sweet, sour fruit. Love it in iced tea. People grow taro in their yards. They grow... you know, because you have this continuous growing season. So if we needed mint or if we needed chive or something like that, we just went out to our small garden because the plots and home sizes and land sizes, everyone's very limited. So everyone had very small gardens there. And that's another thing that's unique about Hawaii, the farmers markets. You're truly getting local food being brought in. The strawberries off of some of the other islands are simply incredible. But it, you know, it's really kind of seasonal as well for some of that stuff.
You know, I recall you talking about, maybe you've talked about this at times when we were meeting late at night, that you were sitting in your office with the windows open, the trade winds blowing, and there was some flower, I think, that only blooms at night that you were commenting about. Maybe, what was that?
Yeah, I think it's a jasmine tree, I think, and... the flowers bloom and it's intoxicating. Matter of fact, the tree was having some challenges and I love that tree so much. I had a person come in and help us treat the tree and I got it healthy again. But when the flowers bloom, you just smell. If you could have just bottled that perfume, you could. It would have been the most expensive perfume on the planet. It just smelled so good.
I know. I know when I travel to different locations, you know, it's not only the sights and the sounds and the food, it's also the unique smells. And those, you know, smell and memory have some sort of connection. And, I've been to Thailand many times and you know, I walk into an Asian restaurant and because of the sensation of the smells that I had in Thailand, when I walk into an Asian restaurant, it kind of brings back that whole travel, that whole trip to me. And it seems like, you know, the jasmine tree might be one of those connectors for a trip to Hawaii that you can experience.
Yeah, Barry, it's funny you mentioned that because after 9/11, I spent about 90 days in the desert before I got a break and was pulled out. And we stomped on the airplane all, you know, desert dirty and we flew to Diego Garcia, and when they opened the door, all I can describe it is I smelled green. It hit us in the face. It was just because we hadn't had any sensation of green, of shrubbery, or of anything for 90 days, and I understand how they came up with the color green because we smelt green.
Yeah.
Wow. So what do you think, Todd, will be the thing you're going to miss the most while you're back in Michigan?
Well, what I don't miss is the traffic of Hawaii, for sure. I've gotten 3 hours of my life back just by moving here literally every day. What do I miss the most? Probably the access to food, different kinds of food. I could just pick what I wanted. If I wanted sushi... 10 minutes away. If I wanted Thai food, 5 minutes away. Really the variety of food in the places that I like to eat at probably will be the biggest biggest impactor. Now, in Hawaii, just like any other place where there's a lot of Asian influence, the rice is a mainstay. And I kind of laugh. I went into Myers here in Michigan and looked at their rice selection, and that is rice that we would throw in the trash, to be honest with you. It's not fit for human consumption, even though people do eat it. So at some point, I'm going to have to find a Asian store and see, or order in a variety of rice that actually has a palatable taste. So, you know, I guess if people think about rice coming out of grocery stores in most places in the United States, don't buy that. Please go online and find and it's a little more expensive, but you'll actually maybe actually acquire a good taste for it, because it has a taste instead of just like paste.
Well, this has been wonderful. I'm not steering it, very steering it, but I just wanted to acknowledge this has been totally awesome. And I'm really glad that Barry brought you on. One, selfishly, that I finally get to connect with you, because I hear your name mentioned through all these years. Barry, were you saying it was something like 14 years we've done this now?
Or yeah.
Am I doing my math right? Oh, my God.
That would be correct, yeah.
But, you know, that's really scary.
I know.
But so, this has been a wonderful interview, and I'm really glad you were our guest this week.
So just a little trivia thing for you. Of course, Hawaii's always been known for pineapple. And today, Hawaii does not export any pineapple. All the pineapple that is grown in Hawaii is used for local or tourist consumption, or to be taken home, a couple of pineapple being taken home. So if you're in a store and if you're in the United, in the mainland, and you're seeing Hawaiian pineapple, it is not pineapple from Hawaii. I can just tell you, they do not export any pineapple out of Hawaii anymore. Most of the pineapple you get in the store today comes from Costa Rica or someplace like that. And at the same point with coffee, when you go to Hawaii, you can actually buy 100% Kona coffee, not a diluted version of Kona coffee. So most of the times when you're shopping for coffee in the mainland and it says Kona coffee, it's a percentage of Kona. So if you're there and if you're a coffee drinker, make sure you get 100% Kona coffee. You can buy it at most ABC stores or anything that are there. It is much more distinct flavor of coffee than what you will find when you buy it to here, which is often diluted.
Exactly. And as you're mentioning, you need to watch out the number, because sometimes the way they have the font set up for the text, the 10% and 100% look a lot alike, but you're going, oh my God, this is such a good cost on this 100% coffee or Kona coffee, and get really shocked when you get home and see you get what you paid for, mm-hmm. and it's really 10%.
Well, being a coffee lover myself, that's interesting, and I know, Lorraine, you have a slight fondness for coffee.
Just a bit.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think we'll bring this to a close. And in doing that, Todd, do you have any contact information if people wanted to contact you or plug your show or whatever you want to do?
Yeah, sure. So number one, if you need information on podcasting, it's todd@blueberry.com, BLUBRRY.com. Just take out the E's. And I can be found on Twitter at Geek News, or maybe even the easiest way is on social media. Just search for me on Facebook, Todd Cochran. Friend me over there. Ask me any questions you may have. I'm pretty accessible. And that's the best way. And then if you're a geek, you can geek out at geeknewscentral.com. But Barry, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's been fun. And I just don't know why we didn't think about this before, but it's great information. Thank you, Todd. And Lorraine, how about you? How do we get a hold of you?
I'm easy. And Todd, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This has been awesome. Maybe someday I'm going to go back to Michigan. Not likely. But, you know, someday it would be nice to meet you in person. but if you'd ever like to come out to Northern California to Sonoma County. That's where you can find me. I can be reached on Facebook. My personal Facebook account is Loreen R, and that's L-O-R-E-N-E-R. Of course, I have my business one, which is Sharp Tongue Consulting. And the easy way to reach me via email is sharptongued@mac.com, and that's spelled S-H-A-R-P-T-O-N-G-U-E-D at mac.com. So, Barry, how do we reach you?
Yeah, and before I throw my contact information out there, you know, I was just thinking I need to rehabilitate Michigan a little bit. We've kind of slammed it about the wintertime, but you know, I don't think it's hard to find a better state in the spring, summer, and fall than Michigan. And people don't realize we have more coastline in Michigan than any other state in the Union except Alaska. And in fact, we have more coastline than the entire eastern seaboard of the United States. So it's filled with lighthouses and sand dunes and beautiful beaches. And, you know, it's a hidden gem. So anyhow.
And you know what I say, Barry, when I come across the state line, usually when I'm coming in from the toll road, I said, I'm entering God's country.
It certainly can be that three seasons out of the year.
Yes, that's true.
Just so that anyhow, one season that it gets the bad rap.
That's right. However, if you like winter, it's beautiful here too then. Nothing like seeing big frozen waves out on Lake Michigan. Anyhow, ice caves and everything. Anyhow, you can reach me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS. And those are the initials for the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And Todd, thank you so much for being our guest. It was fun.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Todd, for so graciously being willing to come on our show and talk about your home for the last 22 years. I really appreciate that. And listeners, if you want a real treat, go over to Geek News Central, geeknewscentral.com, and check out Todd's podcast. I think you'll enjoy it. If you have a technical bent, Todd keeps you up to date on all the latest happenings in the world of tech. So check him out. And I want to thank Loreen, for being our co-host and being with us here on today's show. And she was quiet today. The tables have turned a little bit on this particular show because Todd basically was my guest. And quite often, the guests we have are Loreen's guests, so she gets to talk to them. Well, once again, we're going to close the show, and I want to thank you all for being here, and we will hopefully see you next month if everything works out okay. Sometimes it's hard to get a fast connection up in the rural parts of New Hampshire, but we're going to give it a shot. So hopefully we'll be back with you in July, and if not, we'll be with you in August. So with that, don't forget, you can drop me an email at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. Please do that. Love to hear from you. And until next month, we will see you then. Take care, everybody. Stay healthy. Safe travels. Bye for now.